Well, hello again. Thank you, Nigel and Emma, for worship. Much appreciated. I'm recording this today on Saturday instead of Sunday morning. Yesterday was my birthday. I was 21, or was I 60? I can't remember. That's what happens when you get older. I think I was probably 60, and it was snowing, and it was icy. And today, the sun is shining through my window, so I've closed the curtains, switched on the Christmas tree lights, got into the festive mood. And I'm going to deliver a message for us today. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the power of the gospel. And this is no different. The power of the gospel is found in the word of God, isn't it? Yes, it is. Amen. Just to say that Nigel, Glenn and myself, we've been down the classroom to do some renovations. But unfortunately, what we found, or what I found when I was there, was that there was a leak in the roof. And that leak has got bigger, unfortunately. It's an old cliche, isn't it? We need to repair the church roof, but we rarely do. I put a temporary patch on the other day thinking that would do the job, but it hasn't. So I need to go back again on Monday and see if I can do something a bit more substantial, God willing. So please pray for that. And as soon as we can get that leak repaired, then I'm sure we can meet together. Just an update on that. God is good. All the time. Amen. Amen. So I want to start today's message with reading a portion of scripture from the Psalms. Psalm 5, starting at verse 1. As we go through these scriptures, hopefully they will link in together and you'll get an understanding of what I'm trying to convey to us as a church today. But I'm looking at being expecting the God that we serve to work. So bear that in mind as you think about what you're hearing and think about what God is saying to you. Think about that word expecting as we go through. Okay. Okay. Well, good morning to all. Start at verse one. Listen to my words, Lord. This is David. He's praying to the Lord God. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Consider all my woes. Consider the things I'm going through, Lord. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to you. It's you I pray to, Lord. Verse 3, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait. In the morning, you hear my cries, you hear my pleas. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait. Expectantly is what it says. I wait expectantly. And no matter what translation you read, you can still read this word to be expecting. So in other words, the psalmist says that I'm praying to you. I'm laying things bare before you, Lord. I'm pouring out my heart to you, Lord, and I'm expecting you to answer. That's what he's saying. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful, you, Lord, you detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house in reverence. I bow down towards your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. When we come before the Lord, whether it's in the morning, the afternoon, or the evening, we know that we come to a God that we've been made righteous because of our declaration of our love for God and our declaration of repentance. We can come before him. So can I reassure you right at the beginning of our message today that we as God's children, yes, the church, we as God's children, when we pray, even when we bring our burdens to him, he calls us to lay our burdens before him, doesn't he? As we bring our burdens, as we bring our prayers and our petitions to him, as we bring our laments to him, as we bring our joy to him, whatever it is we bring to the Lord, we need to be a people that are expecting him to answer. And there's a theme that goes through this in keeping with the Psalms in Psalm 38, verse 9. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. God, you know the very things that I'm thinking. God is a God. The God that we serve is a God that wants to intercede. Yes, he's a God that wants to answer our requests. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Let's ask. Let's ask, but let's be those that know that we're going to receive. That's where the power comes. Not in the ask, just in the asking, but in the receiving. And all will be made clear as we go along. Amen. In Isaiah 35 verse 10. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. And we know this picture of Zion is the temple of the Lord, the hill of the Lord, where the Lord is. And when we think about Zion, we think about being the people of God, returning to him with thanksgiving in our heart, with joy. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's good news, isn't it? Let's stick with Isaiah and go into 51 verse 11. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, not sighing. Singing, not sighing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. We live in a world where there's lots of sighing, isn't there? There's lots of people that are going, I can't do this. But God says, yes, you can. Call upon me. But when you call upon me, enter my gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Be an expectant people. When you pray, expect me to answer. How often do we do this? Here's a question for us. And I don't know the way you pray, and I don't know your trial and tribulation, but you do. When you pray, do you pray just because you've always been taught to pray? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Or do you pray because you say, Lord, I come before you, I need this and I need that. When you do pray, do you expect God to answer? Or is it just a formality, something that you've always done? It's a challenge for us, isn't it? Let's continue in John 1, going to the New Testament, starting at verse 12. Well, let's go up actually into verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to all those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. All those that believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. This will become a bit more powerful as we go through these scriptures. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus we're talking about. We have God the Father and we have the Son, Jesus Christ, full of grace and full of truth. And those that put their trust in him, those that believe he is who he says he is, God gave them the right to become children of God. But they needed to believe. They needed to have that faith and they needed to receive the blessing. So we're talking today about expectation. We're talking about expecting God to bless us, expecting God to speak to us, expecting God to correct us and direct us. Expectation. And when we receive what it is we're asking God for, when we take that step of faith, then the power of God is released. In Philippians 4 verse 6, it says this: do not be anxious about anything. Now, that's easy to say, isn't it? Hard to do. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. This small portion of scripture I've read many times over the years, and it's very easy to miss what God is saying here. So let me just slow it down and read it again. Do not be anxious about anything. It gives the implication there that we as God's children, we are anxious. But God is saying through the Spirit of God here, don't be anxious. Yes, God, but you know, yeah, but don't be anxious. And then he gives us the answer. He gives us a remedy. He says, by prayer and petition. To pray is to speak to God. To petition him is to come back to him and say, Lord, you know the need that I have. Lord, you know the need that I have. But the key in this particular portion of scripture that unlocks this scripture is the next bit. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. So here we have a difficult situation. So think of a difficult situation that you have in your life or you've had in your life and God has brought you through. And just picture this. You're coming before God and this scripture is almost saying that we give him thanks for the situation that we're in. It's not what God is saying. It's saying, bring your prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. You know, we come with an offering. Lord, I thank you that I have this offering to give you. Lord, I thank you that you are the Lord that answers prayer. You know, there's a difference, isn't it? We're not being thankful for the situation. We're being thankful in the situation. When we accept and we receive with the expectation that God is going to deliver, that's when the power comes. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding that we hear quoted many times, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, it says in verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, when you bring your laments to me, when you bring your sighs to me, when you bring your petitions to me, think about the things that I've done. Think about the good things and be thankful for them. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So when we go through the trial and the tribulation, and we will, if we haven't already or we're not in it, let's be thankful and let's be expectant so that we can see God's power released. The power of the gospel is a wonderful thing. Let's go back to the Psalms, Psalm 5:3, read it earlier. It says this, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Are we expecting God to answer our prayers? If we're not, let's change that right now. Let's be an expectant people. Because we're his children, aren't we? Yes, we are. The light of the Lord has come and he dwells within us. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. These are scriptures that are true scriptures. They're scriptures that we need to ponder on. We need to allow those scriptures to be saturated into our hearts so that we can be thankful even when we go through trial and tribulation. Because you know I've quoted this many times before and you've heard it many times before. Trial and tribulation produces character. Character produces hope and hope will not disappoint. And that's the truth and that's the power of God's word. If we can believe that, then when we pray, we can expect God to answer. He may not answer in the way we want him to. He may not answer when we want him to, but he will answer. Let's expect the answer. So if you've asked God for something that's in line with his truth, everything's pure and lovely and admirable. If it lines up with his truth, then expect him to answer. So be prepared to listen and to hear and receive the power of God. Amen. Amen. In Luke 8, starting at verse 40. I want to read a story to you to bring all this together and show you how God's power works in extreme situations by being expectant, by expecting him to answer when we ask. Starting at verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, if you read the story, you'll see that he had gone away across the water. He had seen a demoniac, a demon-possessed man, and he had seen that this man was in a dreadful, dreadful situation. He drove out the demons and the man was free. And some of the things that happened within that story, it's worth reading. What you find there is you've got a man who would beg Jesus to go with him and beg Jesus to let him walk alongside him. And Jesus said, no, you share what God has done where you are. And then you had another crowd of people that begged him to leave because they were so fearful. And what happens in life is this. This is true. You'll always find a crowd. Where God moves, there'll always be a crowd. But in that crowd will be a mixture of people. There will be people who, in that crowd, and they don't like Jesus. They hate Jesus. They don't like his name. They want him to leave because they're fearful of being exposed. They're fearful of their sins being laid before and be bare in front of everyone. There'll be people in the crowd who are legalistic, and they're just there trying to trap Jesus like they were in this crowd. There'll be people there just to see the miracles and the signs and the wonders because they've heard about what Jesus has been doing. And there'll be people in the crowd that are expectant. There'll be people in the crowd that will believe that he is who he says he is. And they're expecting something. And these are the people that I want to talk to you about today. And that's who we should be. When we're in the crowd, we should be the ones that are expecting. When we're in the crowd of Christians, gathered thousands upon thousands in an auditorium, lifting up hands in worship, lifting up their voices, we need to be the ones. You need to be the one that's expecting. When you ask, expect God to answer. That's when the power of the gospel is released. Now, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. They knew that he was coming and there was waiting in anticipation. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to the house, to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Now just get this picture. Synagogue ruler, a man of great influence. His daughter was dying. He heard about Jesus. He knew that if only he could request Jesus to come to his house, lay his hands on his daughter would recover. He was expecting. He asked, and he'd already received in his heart, in the asking. He was an expectant father. He didn't come to Jesus and say, if you can. He said, will you come? As Jesus was on his way, he was going to Jairus' house. As he was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. There were so many people there. There was a great throng of people. They were crushing into him. I'm not one for crowds, so I've never experienced this in this degree. But if you are someone who goes to concerts or football matches, you could be caught up in a crowd of thousands, can't you? And basically, if they're all going one direction, then you've got no choice but just to follow. But you can imagine if that rock star, that pop star, that footballer, that celebrity is in the middle of that. There would be a throng of people pushing in to try and touch him or touch her because that's their idol. Well, this was what was happening with Jesus. Everybody wanted to see him. Everybody wanted to touch him. And we see in this scripture here, as this man had fell at his feet, Jairus told him about his daughter, Jesus wanted to do something. Jesus was on his way. The crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now, I'm sure you've heard this portion of scripture preached on many, many times. And I've certainly read this portion out many times in the history of my ministry. But the word of God is active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive, isn't it? So it will always speak to us afresh. So I'm hoping that you won't allow familiarity to stop you from receiving the power of God, the power of God's word through this scripture because you've heard it so many times. If we have ears to hear this, listen. If we have eyes to see this, look and see afresh. God, speak to me afresh through this portion of scripture. Amen? Amen. Jesus was on his way and the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. No one could heal her. So this woman was in a position of desperation. This woman had spent everything that she had on doctors and anything she could get her hands on that she thought would help her. She'd been bleeding for years. She was unclean in the area that she shouldn't have been in the crowd. She was unclean. She should have been isolated somewhere away. She was breaking the law. She was taking a risk. She was somebody who was faceless, nameless, and she was in disguise, no doubt. She had probably her head covered and that she was in the crowd. But she had a mission. Let's look at what happened. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. This is Jesus' cloak. She touched the edge of his cloak and immediately her bleeding stopped. Immediately her bleeding stopped. Jesus says in verse 45, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, people are crowding and pressing against you." And you can understand this, can't you? "What do you mean, Lord? Who touched you? Everybody's touching you." Listen to what Jesus said. And this is the power of the gospel here. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone from me." Jesus knew that someone was expecting. They'd prayed, they'd believed, they'd touched. And in the touching of the edge of his cloak, they believed that they would receive the power of God. They believed, and that power was sucked from Jesus. Now, when we look at the touching of the cloak, now, Jesus is known as a rabbi. He's known as a teacher. And in them days, you would have the shawl or the cloak that the teacher, the rabbis would wear. And they were told, if you look through, I think it's Leviticus, it talks about having tassels on the edge of your garments. And the tassels would be a reminder of God's law, reminder of God's promises, reminder of who God is. Remember, when we talk about wings, the wings are the corners of the garments. And we sing and we read that there's healing in your wings, Lord. There's promises in your plans and purposes for us, God. And there was a reminder upon people. Sometimes they would just throw one of the corners over their back so that they would wear the promises and the laws of God on them. And she grabbed hold of the corner, the edge of his garment. Now, I don't want to read too much into this, but there's a strong possibility that she grabbed hold of the law, the promises of God. And she knew that if only she touched him, she would be healed. But she was expecting. She asked and she received. That's where the power of the gospel comes. Power has gone out of me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. She knew she shouldn't be there. In the presence of all the people, she told how she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, Jesus. Then Jesus said to her, This I find absolutely amazing. You see the grace of God here. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. All those, remember I read it out earlier, all those that believe have the right to be called children of God. There were crowds crowding around Jesus. There were throngs of people, all touching, but not all were expecting. There were many people that wanted to see what Jesus could do. They sought the miracles, but she came seeking the miracle maker. They sought what he would do in order to fulfill certain promises. She came to see a promise fulfilled. She reached out and grabbed hold of Jesus. She grabbed hold of him and power left her. She expected him to do exactly what she heard that God could do through the Messiah, that God could do through the redemption, that God could do for her as an individual. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." When we put our faith in God, when we bring our prayers and petitions and we expect God to answer us, the peace that transcends all understanding, it will guard our hearts. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Verse 50, hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed." Don't be afraid, just believe. Now at that moment, he needed to trust that what Jesus said he would do, he would do. At that moment, he needed to expect a miracle. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter and John and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were waiting and mourning for her. In other words, all the people, the crowd had already believed that there was no hope. There was no hope. But what Jesus said to the father was, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. You see, the way in which we live, the way in which we react, actually says volumes about our faith. They laughed at him. Oh, sorry, let's go back up. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. Stop mourning, in other words. She's not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. Who are we going to believe? The crowd or God? See, God's made promises for me and you, hasn't he? Yes, he has. Who are we going to believe? The world or the word? There's a challenge for us, church. The world or the word? But he looked at, he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. And Jesus told them to give her something to eat. I find this portion of scripture incredible. You know, when we look at 12, we can read many things into 12. You know, the daughter was 12 years. The woman had 12 years of discomfort and sorrow. Jesus had 12 disciples. It's a picture there of completion, isn't it, in one sense? But for me, when I read this portion of scripture, I take hold of what God says, that when I bring a prayer before him, expect the answer. When I speak to him, I need to wait to receive the answer. And if you've spoken to God about something, wait to receive the answer. Yeah, but I spoke to God 12 years ago. Well, wait to receive the answer. Maybe God has already spoken through his word and you haven't read it. You haven't heard it. Maybe he's already spoken to you, but you didn't hear it because you was listening for something else. Well, when we ask, if we ask expectantly, then God will deliver. And when we are in the crowd, then we need to be the ones that know that they're called the children of God, that we have the right to be called the children of God because we belong to him, that we can come to the Father and we can expect an answer to our prayers and petitions. So I want to leave you with this final scripture. It's in Matthew 21, verse 22. And I'll read the scripture, what it says, and then I'll paraphrase it. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. I like to say it this way, and I've been doing this for many years. When we have our prayer meetings in the classroom on a Tuesday on a regular basis, I would say this, and I believe it to be true. Pray as if your prayers have been answered. Well, let's go back and try and remember what the scripture said about praying with thanksgiving, being expectant. Now, for me, when I pray, I also give thanks. So let me give you an example. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us as a church. I pray that you will enlarge us as a people, Lord. That I pray, Father God, that you will cause Grace Community Church and all those in membership to be at peace at this time. Father, I pray that Grace Community Church will grow spiritually, will grow numerically, will grow financially. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. And then I would say, Father, I thank you for your financial, your spiritual, and your numerical growth. Father, I thank you that you are blessing us. Lord, I thank you for your many plans and purposes that you have for us as a church. Father, I thank you that your word is true. Amen? That's what I mean by being expectant. That's what I mean by praying as if your prayers have been answered. That's what I mean by reaching out, touching and believing and receiving the power of God. When we pray as if our prayers have already been answered. There are many Christians that pray because they've been taught to pray. They pray, but they don't really believe. But when we come expecting God to answer, will it be today? Maybe. Will it be tomorrow? Don't know. Will it be in a year's time or 10 years time? I don't know. But what I do know is that when we as a people reach out from the crowd, regardless of our suffering, when we reach in and we touch him and we lay hold of the laws of the Lord, we lay hold of the promises of God, when we grab hold of his tassels afresh, when we pray expecting, God delivers. So let's be an expectant church. Let's be an expectant people. Let's be a thankful people. Let's be a people of faith because we are the children of God and God's given us that right. Power of the gospel, working in you and through you. Amen. Amen.